What's up, everybody? I'm your host, MJ, and welcome to episode 42 of The Social Introvert. This is a very special episode because joining me today is my lovely wife, Sarah. And not only is she my first guest, but this is also another way for me to share my world with the listeners of the show. So, say hi, Sarah.
Oh, hi.
You don't have to
that was
be,
so nice.
You don't have to be weird. Nice. That was like the first four lines. You don't have to like be weird about it. All right. So if this is your first time listening to the show, on this show, I try to motivate and inspire others through sharing personal experiences and valuable life lessons. Plus, for those constantly on the go, I often provide reactions and updates on the latest sports, entertainment, lifestyle, and tech news. So if you're not already a subscriber, please subscribe as the podcast is available on popular platforms like Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Thank you for joining me today. Hope you enjoy the show. All right, so today I have with me my wife, and say hello again to the people.
Hey, guys.
All right. I wanted to tell, you know, my audience a little bit about you, because I actually wanted to have you on the podcast because not only did I want to start having guests on the podcast, but I wanted to create more of an intimate vibe with my fans. So it just made sense to have you on as my first guest. Mm-hmm. Because it gives my audience or my listeners a little inside look at my life. So you're a senior stylist at Stitch Fix, and I did some research, and according to Business Insider, Stitch Fix is one of the top online styling services for women, and possibly across the board, because now they're obviously doing maternity, they're doing men's, they're doing children, so they're probably one of the top online services that you can have for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You're also mother of two. You have two boys, Ezra and Jordan. I mean, obviously, I know this because I'm their dad. But just for the audience, it just seems it's a little weird for me to do this kind of thing because I'm used to just talking by myself. But when you have somebody on, especially when it's your spouse, it's a little different, you know, to talk about those things when I already know about them. So there's going to be a lot of things that I talk about on here that I may already know, but like my you know, audience may not know. But anyways, we have two kids, Ezra and Jordan. Ezra is 3 and Jordan is a little less than a month away from being 1 year old. Mm-hmm. You feel free to chime in whenever you want.
Cause I know you got it right.
I know I got it right, but I know how you feel about Jordan turning 1. So
yeah,
that's a whole
it's
other
my
different
baby.
Thing. So I want to start off with just giving a little bit of our background and a little bit of our story. And we don't have to go into too much detail, but I think we have a really good story. And another main reason why I wanted to have you on, and I'm probably going to go into this a little bit later on in this episode, but this is kind of like a date night. I mean, it's not really a date night. It's like an untraditional date night, but
yeah.
I just used date night as an excuse to get you to do the podcast. Like, let's just be real. I was like, hey, you want to do a date night? And on a date night, let's just do a podcast. But so let's just give a little quick like rundown of like our story now. You were friends. And I'm trying to figure out how to put this into terms without using names, because I eventually want to have them on the podcast, which would, I think, would be cool for all of us to do one together.
That would be fun.
That would be pretty wild and pretty crazy. But at this stage, being that, you know, you're my first guest and I don't really want to put people's names out there like that without their consent. Let's just say you had a friend that was renting an apartment, that had a home that was renting out rooms.
Right.
And long story short, we ended up being roommates.
Right.
Do you have anything to elaborate on that, just from us being roommates, like just going into that situation, knowing that you were going to be living with a dude? Because the situation that we had was a little, I wouldn't say it was abnormal, but it's not common. I mean, it's not common to have two females living with a male.
Yeah, let alone, it was different.
Let alone it be two Caucasian females living with an African-American male. Like, that's a whole nother different dynamic, right?
Right.
And me going into it, I never looked at it like that. I mean, it was in the back of my mind, obviously, just because I'm a black male and I had to be conscious of that kind of stuff. But like, you know, I grew up in the 80s watching Three's Company and those type of shows. And that show was hilarious. So like when she told you that we're going to be moving in and there was going to be a guy, like what, you know, you want to elaborate on like how, what was your thought process or like how that made you feel?
I do remember having some questions for her, obviously, because I hadn't met you, but I also remember feeling confident in her decision just because I know her as a person. I had known her for a while and I trusted her gut instinct. And then on top of that, she had asked her boyfriend at the time, who is now her husband, she had asked him to meet you as well. And I felt good about another male meeting this man that's going to move into the home and just getting his perspective as well, because I trusted his opinion. So just knowing that they both spoke so highly of you just in one or two meetings with you, and just the information they did have of you, I felt pretty confident in their judgment.
That sounds pretty fair.
Well,
I mean,
this is before I even met you
yeah,
or
no,
knew,
I
and I
wasn't.
knew nothing
And
of you.
first of all, that wasn't even a question that I was originally going to ask you. It just kind of came out, and I wasn't expecting any type of, you know, I wasn't expecting any type of response or anything like that because, you know, the situation that I was coming out of, I was just happy to have a place to stay. And the fact that it was literally walking distance from my job, like I didn't care who was living in that house, you
Right.
know.
And for me, I had just spent like the last couple of years traveling the world and doing volunteer work overseas, and then to come home and suddenly not be on my own anymore and moving back in with my parents, it was great for the time being, but I was itching to like get out on my own again. And so that opportunity just presented itself, and it seemed like the right timing, and it was a good friend, and it just made sense.
Now, I'm kind of happy that you actually mentioned that you did some traveling because that is one of the many things that I not only admired about you, but that was just one of the things that drew me to you because I like traveling myself and I've never really been out the country that many times, but like I admire people who are willing to step outside of their comfort zones and go and explore different places and immerse themselves in different cultures and things like that. So the fact that you were able to do that in such a young age and like coming from where I come from, those are like, I don't know, those are just stories that you hear about kids who just like, you know, take a year off and go backpacking. You know, I had a buddy in college that ended up doing that. And
Yeah, I did
it's,
that with my best friend too. We backpacked Europe for a couple months.
yeah, so do you want to elaborate a little bit on like what that experience was like for you?
Epic.
Well, obviously, I
I
mean, when you're young and you're
yeah, I
exploring the
mean,
world, like
well,
it.
my best friend that I went on that trip with, I actually met in Australia, which is where I did that volunteer work for a couple of years. And we just hit it off right from the start. And we just had the same passion for traveling and seeing different cultures and experiencing the world. And, you know, we had saved up and planned to take that trip for a while. And we just, I think we went to like 14 or 15 different countries in 2 months. Just, it was crazy.
That is, I mean, that not only just the amount of like time it takes to do that, but like most people don't get to see one country like in their
No,
lifetime.
it's, I don't take that experience for granted 1 second. It was incredible and I'll never forget it.
Like that's pretty wild. Like, I mean, I could probably, I maybe been to two. Like you talk about you've been to 15, like.
Yeah, and we were supposed to go to a couple more, but at the end we just fell in love with Italy and their culture, and we ended up staying there for a couple weeks and just really immersed ourselves in their culture and got to know the people and did a lot. It was amazing.
All right. Well, keep that thought in the back of your mind because I might come back to that later on because I have a question that I want to ask you, and hopefully I remember to write it down, and maybe I could just remember to go back to it. But
Okay.
like I said, that was one thing that I always thought that was cool about you, that you did that much traveling early on, because I always admire people that just have the confidence to be able to do that and leave home for an extended period of time like that.
Right.
I mean, you know me, like I'm originally from Jersey. I moved 3,000 miles away from my family and close friends, so like I admire people who have that mentality to not be afraid to like see the world and
Right,
try different things.
because you are essentially putting yourself in an uncomfortable position, not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah, and it's okay to step outside of your bubble every once in a while. And I know that's a little
Right.
bit hard to say now, considering,
Yeah, different times.
COVID and all that stuff is going on right now, but like still, it's just different times. But again, like I said, that's one of the things that I really admired about you. So, we were roommates for a while, and then let's say our mutual friend. I like when I tell people the story, like I don't even like referring to her as like a landlord, because she wasn't
No.
really like a
Yeah,
landlord. Like we
we
were
were
just
good
friends. I mean,
friends.
but for a minute it was really just like you two, and
Well, we were good friends for
you guys were
years
friends, and
before
I was
that.
just in my room all the
But
time.
no, well, in the beginning,
In the
though.
beginning, it was. I was just in my room all the
You just
time.
kept to yourself.
I just
But
chilled. And
over time, we all started
yeah, we
hanging
started
out, and
hanging
then we
out.
just
And then,
weren't separable after that.
after that, it just kind of happened, which was pretty cool. And I was debating when I decided to have you on. And I don't know if I told you this. I could have told you this, but I don't think I've ever told you this. I don't think I've ever told anybody this outside of maybe my brother. But I don't remember exactly when it was, but I didn't automatically think that she was gonna accept me in. But I just had a good vibe with her. Like when I went to go look at the, before I even saw the room,
Yeah.
like me and her talked for like 45 minutes before I even stepped foot in the
I
house.
remember her telling me that, and I remember her saying the same thing. She just had such a good feeling about you.
And then, as things started to progress, and then we started to chill, and this was like before we even really like started to chill like collectively. Like you guys would hang out downstairs all the time, and I would just
Yeah.
be like upstairs in my room.
But we would always be like, "Hey, come hang out." Like
Yeah, but
she's
I was
perfect too.
always like, I'm just naturally,
Yeah.
I won't say I'm shy. I mean, now that I'm more in tune with like my introvert side and things like that, it takes me a while to fill people out to see, what type of people they are before I really like share with them my true self.
Yeah.
Because if I can't be myself around you, then I would prefer not to be around you. And
Right.
I knew that I just had a feeling about the two individuals in the house.
Yeah.
Like I knew something was gonna happen. But anyways, her and her boyfriend got serious, and then we started hanging out more, and
Yeah.
then that's just how the story unfolded. And then,
But we were friends for quite a while
we were
before
friends. I mean, we
anything.
moved in there 2010, and then we were like officially dating by 2012.
Yeah.
So that wasn't that,
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that short, but it wasn't like that long
Right.
either. I mean, it was only 2 years. And then things just got more serious, and then we got married in 2016. So, 6 years later of us meeting each other. I mean, we weren't officially dating until 2012, but 4 years later, we got married.
Yeah.
And then the year after we got married, we had our first son, Ezra.
That's right.
And then in 2019, we had our second, which is Jordan. Now, it goes beyond without saying that like mothers are the heart and soul of the family. They just have like an unlimited supply of unconditional love. They're natural nurturers. They're just one of those beings that keep families together. So, being with that said, you went from us going through our transition, and then we got married in 2016, and then we had our first in 2017. And then we had our second in 2019. So that's a lot in like a 3 year time
Yeah.
frame.
Yeah.
So from like a mother standpoint, can you share a little bit about like what that transition was like for you from just initially being married? Because getting married is a big life event within itself.
Right.
But then when you throw in having two children within a matter of 2 years after being married, it kind of throws a lot of different dynamics at you. So I just wanted to see if you could like share a little bit of what that transition was like for you, because I'm sure there's other mothers out there that are probably going through some things, and I'm pretty sure you have some pretty good insight on that transition.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot I could cover. But I think the biggest thing would be, I guess when we first had Ezra, your whole world changes. You realize, wow, I'm a parent now. Like, I'm responsible for this human being. Like, it's just mind-blowing. And I remember bringing him home for the hospital, and both of us were just constantly checking, is he breathing?
Yeah,
Is he alive?
I still do
Like,
to this day.
yeah, we still do sometimes. But especially that first like couple weeks being new parents and just like, okay, we're just gonna throw ourselves into this and hope we're doing it right,
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, internally, like as a mom, I was going through feelings of anxiety that I hadn't experienced before, where I was just constantly concerned for him and just making sure he's alive and breathing and I'm doing the right thing and I'm taking care of this little human being and
Yeah.
raising him right. And, you want to do everything 110%. And so I think I struggled with finding a little bit of that balance where I don't need to be like the perfect mom. I just need to be the perfect mom for him and just love him unconditionally. And that's good enough,
Yeah.
like he doesn't know any better. He feels that love more than anything.
Yeah.
And so that, and also just balancing our marriage because we were still newlyweds in a sense. And now we have this baby thrown in the mix. And,
Newly parents, that's
it's like we kind of had to put our relationship on the back burner and just focus on this new baby that we had. And so finding that balance as well as not losing myself in it all, And so there's a lot happening there.
Yeah.
But it's been the best few years of my life.
I totally can relate with you on a lot of that. I mean, becoming a parent is definitely one of those things that there's no manual for it, right? I mean, there's all kinds of books and things out there, but at the end of the day, those parental instincts just kind of kick in.
Right.
And I felt a little bit about like what type of parent I would be, but I never thought about like the baby stages, because I'm just looking, because I'm a guy, I'm just automatically looking to the stages where they're running around and I can play with them. Like,
Yeah, the baby stage was more my
I'm
thing.
not thinking about the infant stages where it's like,
I love when they're little.
you have a fragile thing and I'm like afraid to drop the baby.
Right.
But since we're on that topic, I wanted to ask you, what was either now or going into parenthood, what was one of your biggest fears about raising kids?
That's a good question. I think one of the fears that sometimes lingers in the back of my mind with both of them is just the fear of them not being like good human beings. And I know that we're their parents and we're going to raise them right and share a lot of the same values and beliefs. And but at the end of the day, you see those families that sometimes get torn apart or go through really tough times, and kids don't always turn out the way you envision, And so you just hope and pray that you're doing the best that you can to instill those, morals and values in them so that they do grow up to be kind people,
That's one of those intriguing things about being parents is that, you have, I mean, I guess legally you have 18 years to influence them as much as possible, but then,
Right.
once they turn 18, they can legally leave the house and they can do pretty much whatever they want to, and you just hope that everything that you've instilled in them will translate into them being a good person and going out into the world and doing good things. But there's so many different influences out there that it's,
Right.
there's kind of like a double-edged sword. Like, you want to be able to hope that you did your best as a parent, but at the same time, you know that they're going to take control over their own lives at some point. And for some kids, they try and do that before they turn 18.
Yeah.
And then some kids, you know, don't. You know, you have late bloomers and you have early bloomers, but
it definitely gives you, or at least for me, I'll speak for myself, it gives you a new profound like perspective on parenthood and what our parents went through to raise us to make it happen, you know, like for your for your mom and my parents. It's just like it gives you a whole new set of eyes and respect for your parents.
It's definitely, I mean, and that's going to kind of lead into the next part that I was going to get into eventually, but I you know, I've never told my mom this, and obviously I know she's going to be listening to this episode, but I, you know, I have a whole new, you know, outlook on just all the stuff that she went through as a parent, and, you know, all the times that, you know, she would call and check up on me and stuff like that when I was in college and things like that. And I appreciated it then. And when you're young, it kind of seems like an annoyance kind of a thing, but you understand why your parents are checking in on you.
Right.
But you don't really understand like the emotional attachment to it until you become a parent. And then you understand that, like, hey, you want to know what's going on with your kids, and you want to know even with your spouse, like you want to know where your bloodline is at all times. So you want to make sure they're safe and okay. But on the brighter side of things, like, what's one of your favorite things about parenting? Do you have one?
No, I just love seeing them laugh. Like, just their innocence and their joy. No, I'm serious. Like, they both have the best laughs. Like, it's my goal to just make them get that deep chuckle, you know? And it just makes my day knowing they're happy.
Yeah.
You know, just bringing that joy to them is everything.
Yeah.
I told Ezra last night, you heard me when I was laying there with him, I said, Ezra, if you're happy, mama's happy. Like, that makes me so happy. And he grabbed my cheek. Oh, I love you, mama. Like, those moments are everything, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it's seeing things come to fruition. Like, when we're teaching them how to do things.
Yeah.
And seeing them do it on their own. I mean, this is more so about Ezra because he's a little bit older, but Jordan's starting to get into that responsive phase where he's responding to the things that we say to him and things like that. But mostly it's with Ezra.
Yeah.
Seeing him do certain things. And it's funny for the listeners that don't know, Ezra means help, right? Mm-hmm. And he just loves to help.
He does.
With everything. I mean, with any and everything, any opportunity he gets to help, he tries to help. And until, you know, me being home recently, I didn't get to see a lot of that. I mean, I heard stories about it.
Yeah.
But like being home and being able to see it firsthand, I never thought that I would be the type of person that would just be in awe of my child. Sometimes I just look at him like this kid is evolving, and to see that happen right in front of my eyes is something that I just never really ever anticipated. Is there anything that you took away from how you grew up and either wanted to replicate it or not do, like, as a parent? So is there anything that you took away from your childhood that you said, you know, I want to be that way when I become a parent, or like, I don't want to do that when I'm a parent?
Yeah, there's plenty. I guess the biggest thing that I feel like made a huge impact on me, being a new parent, is just the amount of unconditional love I always felt as a kid. Like, we didn't grow up rich. We didn't grow up super poor either, but, you know, we weren't like so well off, but my brother and me would have never known that. My parents did everything they could to provide for us and take care of us. But at the end of the day, we knew that our parents loved us no matter what, like, unconditionally, and we could go to them with anything. And I think just knowing you have that unconditional love is everything as a kid. So that's huge. Like I want Ezra and Jordan to always feel that love from me and always know they can come to me no matter what.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's real good. For me, it was, I knew that I wanted to be a parent that was going to be a part of a two-parent household. Like for me, I basically got the best of both worlds. Like I'm just keeping it real. Like I remember a phase in my life early on where I had both of my parents around. And then there was a stage in my life where I didn't have both of my parents around.
Yeah.
And I recall like the time when I did have both of my parents around was a part of my early childhood where I was like a kid. So, you know, you don't really remember too much about your childhood. You're going to remember back so far, but I just remember doing a lot of like family oriented things like visiting family members and, you know, Christmases and like things like that, where it's just traditional, like typical, like family things. And then once I got to high school, you know, my dad wasn't around, and that created a whole different dynamic just for me as a kid, you know, like seeing my mom, like, you know, go to the moon and back for me and my brother, like that just instilled a whole different outlook on like how much work you really need to do to be able to provide for your family. It just made me open my eyes to being like, one person should never have to be in this position to do that themselves.
Yeah.
No matter how many kids you have one kid, you have two, three, four, whatever, like one parent, that responsibility should never be thrown onto one person. And to see my mom handle it the way that she did, it just motivated me even more to make sure that like whoever I ended up with, I was never going to put them into that situation. So it kind of like ties into, you know, when we first started talking and we first started dating, like we used to have a lot of conversations about divorce and like that kind of stuff. And that was one of those things that ignited my motive to not want to be one of those statistics, because seeing what my mom went through, I mean, you know, my dad went through some stuff. It was just one of those things that just stuck out in my mind. And I never really, like, you know, penalized my dad for that kind of thing. I mean, there was a phase of my life where I wish he would have been around for it. But I just remember there were times where, you know, I could recall how much my mom did more because that was doing a pivotal part of my life as a male. Like, males mature different than females do. And usually for males, when you get into high school and you're 15, 16, 17 years old, those are like valuable years for the father to be around, to be able to steer you in the right direction. And he wasn't. And
which says a lot about your mom. Like that takes a strong woman.
Yeah. It takes a really, really strong individual. So, that was one of the things that I just engraved in my mind that like, hey, one day, you know, if it's in my journey for me to become a parent, I'm going to do whatever it takes for my part to make sure that my children grow up in a two-parent household.
Yeah.
And interesting what, you know, after me thinking about that and thinking about talking about this with you, I was just curious. So I looked up a statistic, and I don't even know if you know this because I'm pretty sure you look up different things and stuff like that, but did you know that 23% of kids in the U.S. live in a single parent household with no other adults? So this is not a situation where it's saying like, oh, the father's not there, but like maybe grandma's there or like an auntie or uncle is there. This is basically saying that 23% of the kids in single parent households are just there with one parent. And I will go on record and say 9 times out of 10, it's probably the mom. It's not the dad.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that's just me coming from where I come from. And a lot of my friends have grew up in single parent households, and most of them were with their moms. They weren't with their dads.
No, that's typically
but I'm not saying that there's not a percentage of where it's, you know, the kids living with the dad and not the mom, because there are some out there that I like that, but
Yeah.
the majority of the time it's usually the mom that's the single parent. And then it went on to do some comparisons, and it said that 23% was more than three times the share of children around the world. The US was 23%, and the UK was 21%. And then it went on to talk about other countries, like I think China was like 4%, and then I think Nigeria was like 3%, which was mind-boggling to me because these are like third world countries that you would think like
That they've been through,
you would think they've been through like way more worse than we had anything that we could have experienced in the US.
They're
But like
ride or die type
their
of
families are
situation.
just like sticking together like glue, and you know, we in the US we're just taking things for granted. But we'll just keep things moving. I think I had another question here. And you can chime in anytime you want to. You don't have to just have to make it feel like me just, you know.
Well, you're the host.
Yeah, I'm the host, but like I told you when I asked you to be on, like I don't want it to be like me just asking you
Ask me,
questions
I'll ask you
because I'm
questions too.
trying to, at the end of the day, you know, this is a new experience for me. This is obviously your first time coming on, and I do want this to be something that is really authentic because that's just what I'm about when it comes to my podcast or anything that I do from a creative standpoint. Like, I want it to be authentic. So normally I'll be going crazy about, you know, the whole organization of things and stuff like that, but I basically got some things down that were just like bullet points, but I also, you know, it's not necessarily me being the host and you being the guest. It's more like you're the co-host and we're just kind of talking about these topics collectively. So if you feel like you want to chime in or you want to say something, then feel free. What's one of the toughest challenges you have as a parent, but what's also one of the things that you would like to do more of?
I think, well, currently speaking, I would say my biggest challenge right now is the toddler stage and just navigating the right way to handle those 3-nager moments, the toddler tantrums. I don't know, you want to let the kid feel their feelings, but you also at a certain point want to have authority and, take control of the situation. So finding that balance sometimes can be tricky because he is discovering his emotions and he's figuring out all sorts of things, and there's still a big world for him to discover and explore. And so every day there's at least one tantrum. Let's be real though, there's probably at least a handful. So I think just trying to, it's new for both of us trying to navigate that and figuring out the best way to approach it and not necessarily let our emotions get the best of us sometimes. And, because we have those moments where we just are tired of hearing him cry or whine or not listen. And so it's easy to sometimes snap and then you instantly feel guilty afterwards. But just trying to find the right way to handle those situations sometimes can be challenging. I don't know, what about you? Do you feel like that's accurate?
That's very accurate. I know for me specifically, and I have these conversations with myself all the time, and because I play sports, I feel I have a lot of discipline to an extent when it comes to certain things, and a lot of the things that I've learned from playing sports, I almost try to apply to life. That was just one of the things that was just preached to me as a student athlete that, you know, the game is just is like a tool to prepare you for life. So anytime that I was involved in a sport, whether it was football, basketball, baseball, regardless of how good or how bad I was at those sports, like now that I'm an adult, I always try and look back on some of the things that just stuck out in my mind. And I'll never forget coming from a public high school, going to a private high school, and being in a completely different system. One of the main things about, you know, the offense that we ran was to have patience. Like, no matter how good you were, you had to trust the system. And now that I'm a parent and, I get into those situations where there's tantrums and things like that, and you get to a point where I realize that as patient as I thought I was, like, it's got nothing. It's got
Next
also, it's
level.
like a whole, it's not even, it's like out of this world type patience. Like, I'm thankful for that because I honestly don't know what type of parent I would be if I wasn't put in that type of situation. Like,
True.
I feel like being in that type of situation taught me how to have patience, at least to the extent to where now I can be a parent and actively be in that moment and be like, yo, this is an opportunity where you need to have more patience and not automatically just be so reactive to things. No matter how irritated I am or how tired I am or whatever, like, I never want my emotions to trigger my actions to my children. I want to be more mindful, if anything. So I always think about that. And even if it's just a matter of me just sitting there silent and just not saying anything, like,
Let him feel what he needs to
it
feel.
just makes me, it just makes me so much more grateful when I'm just like, yo, like, I really thought, running this particular offense required a lot of patience. Like, parenting is just like on a whole nother different level.
Is.
When it comes to, doing things you want to do more of.
I think circling back to that, I think for me, it's just, and you already know this, we talk about this all the time, just cutting out more time for myself, for me to really give myself that the time that I need for me as an individual person. Because as a mom, like it's so easy to lose yourself in your kids and in motherhood, because it really is a 20, it doesn't stop. It's a 24-hour job. And so, not job, but you know what I mean. It's a 24-hour thing. It never stops. And so I think just teaching myself to carve out even those simple moments of time, like 15 minutes out of my day or whatever it needs to be, to give myself that time to just breathe and have silence and or go work out or go run an errand, just anything I need to reset and just give myself that time to reflect on me and my day or whatever I'm going through at that moment. I think it's so important as moms and just as human beings to for us all to do that. And so that's my struggle, and that's something that I want to do more of and be mindful of.
I definitely have my fair share of things that I want to do more of, and I feel like I get the opportunity to do a lot of them, but one of the main things that I wanted to do more of is to bring people more good content like this, just doing more podcasting and things like that. So as we continue to bring more good content, we're going to take a break and then we will be right back after this message. Right, so we were kind of on the topic of talking about, family and talking about kids and things like that. And I really didn't go too much into talking about your career as a stylist. Is there anything you want to share with regards to being a stylist? Because I know that you love being a stylist and I know that you love doing what you do. So, trying to find a way to tie that into being a parent, is there anything that you take away from your job as a stylist and try and implement into your life as a parent?
Fashion.
Just anything, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be like, I'm pretty sure you deal with a lot of different personalities. Maybe you get feedback from somebody that helps you with constructive criticism, and now you take that constructive criticism and you take that approach and you apply it to how you talk to your children or how you talk to me or like how you just apply it to your life in general.
Yeah, and I guess I never really thought about it like
Oh. Okay. All right. We just keep moving. But anyways, the main reason why I was bringing that up is because I wanted to mention that obviously you weren't always a stylist, right? Like, you spent a
No.
good amount of time in your professional career being an ABA therapist, right? Is
Yeah.
that right? ABA. Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, ABA stands for Applied Behavior Analysis.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow, you did your
Yeah,
research.
I looked it up because I didn't want to mess it up. But for those listening that aren't really too familiar with what an ABA therapist is and exactly what they do, can you like share a little bit about that part of your career journey and what that was like?
Well, it kind of started out when I was a nanny for a family in college. They had a little boy who ended up having Down syndrome, and I just fell in love with this kid. Like I definitely bonded with all the kids, but me and him had a different kind of bond. And I just realized that I really had that like place in my heart for kids that had special needs. And so I came upon a position to be an ABA therapist. And essentially, you're going into people's homes or schools or the clinic, and you're providing one-on-one therapy for kids, primarily with autism, but there can be, other developmental delays. And so, yeah, you would, or I would provide one-on-one therapy with them. And so, essentially, you're trying to meet these goals that would be tough for them because they are delayed, and you get to see the progress that they make over time, and it's really rewarding, especially when you start to develop relationships with the families, and you're a huge part of that kid's success and their journey, as well as the families. And so it's definitely rewarding.
Did you actively, now being with that family, did you like actively seek that career, or was it something that you just like you were looking for a job and you stumbled onto it and was like, hey, I'll try this, or were you like actively like looking for something in that?
I don't remember actively looking for it. I think just where I was at in my life and having like that special bond with that kid, when I did come across that job, I was like, I think that's something I could really do and be good at. And so I just applied for it.
Now, did you go, was that something you went to school for,
No,
or?
it's something that I just fell into essentially and then just got trained over time. And then, I mean, I did that for, gosh.
Long time.
Yeah, I'm gonna say like
That's
8 years or
a
something,
long time.
with different companies. But I got to the point in my career that I was, essentially providing education to parents and, mentoring other therapists, and so I learned a lot about the field.
Do you feel like you take any of that knowledge and apply it to being a parent? I mean, because you've probably dealt with a lot of parents and you've seen probably some good parents and probably some bad parents, and you've seen some good kids and probably some bad kids, but you can't really blame the kids too much because obviously you're there to treat them and to help them. Is there any, from the most basic level to the most like advanced expert level, like is there anything that you've taken from being a therapist and applied it just not only to being a parent, but just applied it like to your life in general with how you like interact with
Absolutely.
people and children?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole idea behind ABA is behavior and studying behavior. And so you learn to come up with these behavior plans, essentially. I'm serious. And you can
No, I'm
apply
not
it.
laughing at that. I'm just laughing because I want to say, like, have you studied your behavior?
Right.
No,
No, but
I'm
you can. You can essentially set up a behavior plan for yourself. I mean, it works for
not. No, I'm
anything.
just joking.
But
I
I mean,
just can't resist.
it does give you like such knowledge into behavior, and not just with kids that have developmental delays and
Yeah.
how to approach them, and the functions of behavior and how do you address certain behaviors. And learning that stuff gave me so much knowledge, especially when it came to becoming a parent, because now I know, okay, I can literally look at Ezra and be like, all right, what's the function of his behavior right now? All right, how do I address that function? Like I've learned these things and they're ingrained in me. And so I think it's tough sometimes because I go straight to that in my brain because it's just so embedded into me. But then I also have to look at the flip side and be like, okay, I'm a mom, like I'm just a parent, like play it cool. Like I don't need to do everything by the book and be so, crazy about it. So it definitely plays a part for sure.
I feel you. I can definitely feel you on that. And that's kind of the line that I draw for myself. Like sometimes I can see those type of situations where that's being put into play, but I don't like engaging to the point where I'm not allowing you to be able to decipher like that on your own. Like I don't like interfering with that process. And because I wouldn't want that to happen to me. Like if I'm trying to learn something on my own or try and like figure out like my way of parenting based off of the things that I've learned, like I feel like there's things that I've learned throughout my life, whether it was through my parents or through playing sports and being a part of different teams and things like that, that I want to be a part of my parental DNA. Like I wouldn't want you to interfere with that process. So if being an ABA therapist is a part of your process to eventually help you get to being the parent that you're meant to be, I wouldn't want to interfere with that process. So we often get to a point where we have those things, but at the same time, we have to just be open-minded to know when we're not allowing ourselves to trust the natural innate parental vibes that we get from God. You know what I mean? Like you don't want to ignore
It's like
that,
that
right?
built-in
Yeah, it's like
intuition.
a built-in thing. So you don't want to ignore that either because you're just so obsessed with like you said, like the manual of like doing things. You don't want to be consumed by that.
In point to that, like every kid is so different. You really have to cater to the child and how their personality is, how they respond to things. What makes them tick, like what makes them happy? You have to learn your kid. And so I think that plays a huge factor in it.
And it's funny you said that because I always think this, but it's so funny how two different worlds can have similar vibes, right? You're talking about it coming from an ABA therapist's perspective, and as a teammate and as a coach or as a captain or whatever, like you have to be able to decipher your teammates because every teammate is different. So, and this is something that I learned later on in my career in athletics is that like I've always responded well to coaches who knew how to do that. Even to the modern day sports teams that I like and I admire and coaches that I like now, I like them because they know how to talk to each individual player. Like the days of just talking to everybody the same way doesn't work. Like you have to be able to communicate to a specific person the way that like they know how to communicate. So some kids, you can like yell at them or whatever and it gets them fired up and they respond to it. But you can't take that same perspective and apply it to the next kid because the next kid may be more sensitive or he may be, and then in sports, I'm not even going to go down that road right now. In sports, sensitivity is like a whole nother animal. But like, you get what I'm saying, right?
For
It's
sure.
kind of like the same perspective. And, I do that a lot of times with Ezra. Like, I use that as a teaching tool, not only to him, but like to myself to be like, hey, one day if I ever want to be involved in sports or if I want to be involved in coaching, I need to be able to communicate with a kid that's going to respond a certain way. Like I can't just be a specific type of person. I need to be able to like learn how to communicate, and having children helps you learn how to communicate.
And it helps you, essentially bring out the best in them, right? That's the goal. So once you learn how their mind works and how their personality is and their emotions, you can bring their strengths out.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how a lot of the things that we've been through as individuals kind of like helped us prepare for being parents in their own, in their own ways. And I just think that's, I think that's really cool. And I think God has specific paths for everybody, and I feel like the journeys that we were on not only helped our paths cross, but it also helped us prepare to be parents in our own light. But speaking of light, let's try and change the tone a little bit and, kind of pep things up a little bit. So one of the things that I wanted to do, and I already talked to you about this, because I just wanted to give you a little bit of insight of what you're going to be getting yourself into. And one of the things that I wanted to do, as we, near the end of this, is I wanted to kind of end every episode on somewhat of a positive note, or just have some fun with it. And we have the rapid fire part of the interview guest host kind of like podcast episode. So just get into a little fun, because I just, number one, I like question games. I'm just obsessed with question games. You already
Well,
know
we
this.
love
We
games.
love games in general, but
We're not competitive at all.
I just, no, we're not. I don't think we're like one of those like couples that are just like crazy competitive. We just like playing
Yeah,
games.
that's
Like,
true. We enjoy the
we've
process.
never really like gave each other crap about wins and losses, or we never like kept count. There has been some times where you'll be like, yeah, and I'm just like, all right, you won. Like, just keep it real. I'm just like, to
Don't
me, I'm just like, yeah, it's a board game. Like, it's all good. But I like that. Like, that's fun to me when you do that, because it shows me that you have a little bit of competitive edge. And even
about.
though,
I
yeah, I know you
play
play sports, but like, even though I probably care on the inside, like, it's easier for me to like laugh at that kind of stuff, because like, it's just funny to me. So here, I was gonna do something different with this, but this is my first time doing it, so this could just be like, a pilot run on this thing. But it just gives an opportunity for the audience to get to, know some random stuff about you.
Yeah, shoot.
And I don't know, maybe I'll do this for myself one day, or we'll flip the script and I'll have you do it for me. But right now, we're just gonna do it for you. It's 21 questions, and we're gonna go through it real quick.
All right.
And it's basically just like, I'll give you two options and you have to pick one.
Got
All
it.
right, you ready?
Yep.
All right, cookies or cakes?
Cookies.
It's
You made me hungry.
like on one question, you had to pause and think about cookies or cakes.
Because I want
Like,
dessert
I
right
know,
now.
now you like paused, so you started thinking about actual cookies and cakes. Okay, cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Pop music or rock music?
Pop.
Pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
Hot chocolate or coffee?
Come on. Coffee.
That's not like a no-brainer. You act like you don't like hot chocolate.
I do, but coffee all the way.
Yeah, but holidays is hot. Your hot chocolate phase is going, like Christmas
That's true.
time is when
Yeah,
you want hot
of
chocolate, and
course.
then
It's
it's back
Christmas.
to
It's like a
coffee.
given.
Day or night?
Night.
Really?
Yeah.
Text messages or call?
Text.
I think that's gonna be one that I ask everybody, because it's so like,
Yeah,
it's like a,
everyone's one extreme or the other.
it's, yeah, but it's like you never really know. So I'm just curious to see. I can't wait to see like who's gonna say call, because there are some people that still like to talk on the phone.
Oh, absolutely.
TV shows or movies?
Movies.
You didn't sound too positive about that one.
Because I like both.
Well, then just say both.
Oh, I didn't know that was an option. I thought you had to
It's
pick
not
one.
really an option, but I'm not trying to make this complicated for you.
right.
Rain or snow?
Rain.
Phone or computer?
Phone.
The Walking Dead or Breaking Bad?
Walking Dead.
Frozen yogurt or ice cream?
Frozen yogurt.
Fruits or vegetables?
Fruits.
Burgers or tacos?
Ooh, tacos.
Books or magazines?
Books.
Sandals or sneakers?
Sneakers.
Breakfast or dinner?
Breakfast.
Facebook or Instagram?
Insta.
Shopping online or in person?
Oh, I could do both.
This is true.
You know this.
This is very true. This is very, very true. Why is the shopping question the hardest one you pause on? Like, do you either like shopping online or you like shopping in person? Which one is it?
I guess I'd lean towards in person.
Okay. iOS or Android?
iOS.
Would you even ever say Android, though? Like,
I used to have an Android. I love
Android. I know. And then all of a sudden,
once
like,
I switched, I couldn't go back.
But you didn't. It's not that you couldn't go back. You didn't try going back.
I didn't want to.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, as like, I don't know. I did. I've lived on both sides of those worlds.
I know you have.
Glasses or contacts?
Contacts.
All right. That concludes the rapid fire, folks.
Oh, I passed.
There's no passing or failing.
What just do you mean? It's just...
All right. So it's about that time. We get ready to wrap this up. We spent a lot of time talking about, you know, just being parents and our relationship and like how our things kind of evolved. We didn't really get into too many specifics about, you know, our relationship and things like that. We just kind of told our little bit of our backstory of us being roommates and then, you know, dating and getting married and stuff like that. And then we talked a little bit about being a mom. So I'm just, you know, I want to give co-hosts the opportunity to just share any type of positivity that they have or any type of advice that maybe they want to give. And in this particular case, to, you know, other parents out there who may be struggling, or single parents, single moms out there that may be struggling, or just some positivity that you just may want to share about like what's going on right now, or a message that you want to send to people. The mic is all yours.
Thanks, babe. Gosh, well, yeah, I mean, you just said with everything going on in the world, you know, not to get too heavy, but I think there's a lot happening right now, and you really just, for me personally, I just feel like it's necessary now more than ever to just take a step back and really reflect and enjoy every moment that you can, because tomorrow's not promised, right? Like, you have to soak up every moment. And, you know, being a mom, it's a tough job. Like, every mom would say it's a really tough job. But at the end of the day, like, if you loved your kid as hard as you can, like, that's all you can do. And that is the best thing for them, just to give them that outpouring of love. And so I just applaud all the moms out there, because it's not easy.
I gotta get the clapping like background noise.
But also I applaud the dads. Like, it's not an easy job. And I just, aside from all of that, I just want to say to you personally, I'm just super proud of you for doing this podcast and chasing what you're passionate about. And it's just really cool to not only be your first guest, but just see how this all works and how you've made this happen. And I'm just proud of you as your wife, as your best friend, you know, as a guest. I'm just really proud of you.
Are you trying to be getting all mushy now?
I'm not getting mushy. I'm really happy for you, because I know how much this means to you. And I think it's just, you know, not everyone goes after what they're passionate about. Some people have these dreams and these thoughts in their mind that they want to pursue one day and never do. And you're doing it. So,
number one, first, thank you, obviously, for saying that, because you didn't have to say that. And I wasn't expecting you to say that, because I naturally, you know, this is kind of coming back from where I said in the beginning, where, like, you know, I wanted to have you on because, you know, I wanted to have guests on, and it just made sense to, you know, have you on as my first guest. But I never wanted to use my podcast as a platform to try and, like, communicate, like, the things that I love about you, right? And I'm not the type of person to basically, like, broadcast that type of stuff on social media, because I feel like, and not that I don't like doing that stuff, I do like doing that stuff, but I feel like social media is so saturated with a lot of that stuff that I feel like a lot of the times And this is no, I hope people don't take this the wrong way, but there's a lot of people out there that do those type of things for attention. Sometimes it's authentic, but then there's a lot of times where it's just like super embellished. And then sometimes when it's really coming from the heart. And I've always been the type of person where I never felt like I needed to broadcast how much I feel about you or the love that I have for you on social media for you to know that. You're right next to me. Why would I need to write up some long posts to put on social media so I could get a bunch of likes
It
when,
matters what we say to each
yeah, it
other in real
matters. I
life.
mean, even though that's going to make you smile and it's going to make you
Yeah,
go,
of
oh,
course, that's
whatever.
still
But
nice.
like, am I really doing that for you or am I doing that for the eyes that are watching?
Yeah, no, I
And
get that.
I thought about that when I originally wanted to have you on. I started thinking about like things that we could talk about and stuff like that. And initially, like, I really wanted to just have you on to just let you know, like, I have my ways of communicating with you, and I have my ways of showing you that I love you by doing things. And sometimes I say it and sometimes I don't. But like, I really just wanted to take this opportunity to just let you know that, like, hey, number one, I love you and I really appreciate everything that you do, just, as a spouse, as a mom, and just as a person in general. Like, from the people listening to this podcast, they should be able to tell within this, I mean, I don't know if it's going to end up being an hour, but like within the amount of time that they listen to this podcast, they'll already be able to tell like how intriguing of a person you are. And that was one of the real reasons that just made me convinced that you were going to be a part of my life. And I just want to reiterate that. And even though I don't always say those things, verbally, I feel like when I'm behind the microphone, like it's easy for me to, I won't say it's easy for me to be myself, but like this is my element, you know what I mean? And I know this is something that I was meant to do, and it's not always, doing this isn't super easy. Like you said, you're proud of me for doing this because now people have dreams and stuff like that, and they don't always follow through with them. And I was one of those individuals. Like, I had dreams of doing this type of thing all the time, and it's still a work in progress for me, but I wouldn't be able to say that I'm happy at this point being able to pursue the things that I'm pursuing without like having your unconditional love and support. And it's not easy, but like that means a lot to me. So that's
Oh.
one of the real reasons why I wanted to have you on, is so that I could tell you that, because I was trying to find ways to communicate that to you. And I know that I'm more creative when it comes to doing stuff like this, and it probably means a lot more to you that I'm sharing this with you and everybody that's listening, as opposed to writing you a letter or something like that, which it would have still had the same impact. But this is all, it's not stuff that's like premeditated. Like, this is just me talking to you and coming from the heart. So I just want to say thank you for your support, and I love you, and thank you for being my first guest on my show. Aww.
Thanks, babe. I love you too.
All right. That's a wrap for today, guys. Hope you enjoyed the show. Before we get out of here, I'd like to give a personal shout out to Anchor and Spotify for making it possible for me to distribute my podcast on multiple platforms and reach people all over the world. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts, as your feedback provides helpful insight for future productions. For even more content, you can check me out online at michaeljarrell.com. That's michaeljarreld.com. And on Instagram at michaeljarrell, or on Twitter at @thesocialintro_. Wishing you all a very blessed day, and until next time, peace.
Bye, guys.
Oh, okay.